Hey, it's your good friend, Prince Nana from AEW and the Mogul Embassy. And right now, you're listening to the good Wrestle In Podcast Network.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Choco Cast, your little bit of audible happiness here on the Wrestle In Network. Be sure to subscribe for more from us, as well as a host of other shows like On the Indies, Ocean Cyclone Show, Ace Techers, All Elite Listening, and Total Nonstop Talking. If you couldn't tell by my horrific attempt to do a high-pitched voice to kick things off as I do every month, I am a little bit under the weather. I'm fighting through a cold and some headaches. Pity me, people. Feel bad for me. Ignore the fact that I've just come back from Japan and you're probably jealous of me. Give me pity. Give me sorrow. Give me sympathy. But nonetheless, I am here as I am every month to push through, because this is going to be a really exciting episode of Choco Cast. They always are, but this one will be especially exciting. And to do this, as I do every single month, I couldn't have an episode like this without my good friend, the friend I've met in person now multiple times, Window Jeff. How are we going, my man?
Dude, you were in Japan? That's amazing.
What?
Oh, no way. God. Huh? I've always wanted to go. What was it like? What was the best thing?
Look, I understand, Jeff, you wouldn't know what it's like in Japan. I went to Choco Pro. I know you've been wanting to do that for a while.
Was it super futuristic and amazing? Did they have robots everywhere?
Well, not everywhere, but more places than they have down here in Tasmania, I can tell you that much.
Wow, that's amazing. One day.
No, that's one awesome. More yeah, day is what I was saying.
It's been a while since I've seen you. Actually, you got quite busy towards the tail end, so I didn't get to see you on the last couple. I was hoping to have like a last hurrah before you headed off, but didn't have that chance, but that's all right.
Yeah, we had grand plans. We caught up a couple of times at the shows, but we had said, oh, look, let's not just do it around wrestling events. Let's actually catch up. And I'm like, that's a great idea. And just life got in the way. Like, I decided to go to a wrestling show, which wasn't on my original agenda. And then, like, we were like, oh, maybe we'll catch up after the show. But it was pissing down raining. And so I was like, yeah, let's not do that. And just, it didn't line up. So I didn't get to do the full Jeff experience, but got to see him a couple of times. It was good to catch up. We got photos. We have proof that Choco Cast has met up in person. You have them. I don't.
We did an official Choco Cast Tabaka Gaijin, so that's the most important thing.
We had Can't miss the two of us next to each other. I got a message from Kieran, who was watching live, and because I said to him, look, I'm going to be there. You'll probably see me because of Jeff's quote-unquote secret spot is on the hard cam. And literally the stream opened and he said, within 2 seconds, I've spotted you guys. So you can spot us there. You'll find us. Which one is which?
Apparently the stream opens with me like awkwardly like cutting across the cam to go stand next to like in my usual spot. I just happened to go to the bathroom. I wanted to just wash my hands before we started. And so it was like this awkward thing where it was like I went to the bathroom and then went to go like wash my hands and stuff and just, you know, splash some water on my face before the show started. And then like, it just happened to be like, I could hear like music kick, like, uh-oh, we're about to start the show, damn it. And I had to kind of like awkwardly cross past Shinsan and everyone. And so apparently like literally as the stream opens, it's me awkwardly walking.
Excuse me, coming through, watch out.
Oh, well, it is what it is. That was actually good. It was a pretty, that was a special Baka Gaijin too.
That was a very special Baka Gaijin, which the people watching may not be fully aware of. Now, I think most people have probably heard the news in the aftermath, but this was a quote-unquote three-match Baka Gaijin show, which for most people who watch, it's a little confusing. Typically, they have four matches. They only had three good matches. But you and I, after the third match, when everyone came out and did the pose, we're kind of looking at each other going, this doesn't make sense. This isn't a typical thing. And no offense to the main event, that's not a typical Baka Gaijin main event. Yeah, it's like,
I liked it. It was a showcase of the youngins, the young blood.
It was a good showcase of the youngins. But
you knew there was something coming still. You knew You could feel it in the air.
Yeah, yeah. You could feel there was someone else at the in the backstage area just waiting to burst out. So the show ended, the stream cut, and then Chris sort of thanked everyone. We're going to leave. He was like, hang on. There's actually, we want to give you another match. We got a little special thing. So Mecha Mummy came back out. Mal came back out. And to join Chris was a certain someone. Some people claim to know his real identity, but he's masked, so you can't tell who he is. But it has come out in, like, future reports from some misguided tagging on Twitter that he is related to El Desperado.
Yeah?
Long-lost cousin, I believe.
I just thought they grabbed the guy from the kitchen in the back. I didn't realize.
Yeah, no. Look, people were tagging El Desperado. It's like, oh, look. And he's like, that's cool. That's my cousin. So his cousin, Amigo, had come over for this show. Very special kind of one-off thing. Definitely not El Desperado, I can confirm.
Absolutely not El Desperado. It was El. Chris was even confused a few times throughout the match. He was. Yelling
out. The crowd shut him up real quickly.
Yeah. El Amigo shut him up very quickly, too. He kept calling for a tag from El Amigo, yelling out Desperado. And then El Amigo would look at him like, what are you talking about?
I assume there was just some mistranslation. Like, yeah. I assume Chris was like, are you desperate for a tag?
That was what
I was interpreting it as.
That's probably exactly what it is. Actually, yes. I was wearing an El Desperado hoodie as we kind of started off.
Unfortunately,
I was wearing an El Desperado hoodie over my Bakugaishin and Friends t-shirt.
He's committed to the merch game, this Jeff. But unfortunately, there was no Amigo merch. There's no Amigo t-shirts or anything.
No.
I
know the person who made El Amigo's gear. I forget who it was, but I was talking to someone after the show, like, oh, yeah, my friend made El Amigo's gear. And I was like, oh, really cool. But I forget who it was. But we were talking about it after the thing. Anyway, so I didn't mean to stick. I meant to just drop a funny point of your trip that, like, I thought it was really cool that we could go to that show together because, you know, we've talked about Bakugaishin a lot as a kind of side kind of thing to Choco Pro in our eyes. Like, you know, I think most of the Choco Pro fan base looks at Bakugaishin as a kind of, like, I won't say offshoot TV series or anything like that, but it feels like it, right? Like when the producers of, like, Happy Days go out and they make, like, whatever, you know, I forget what the name of it. There was some show that, like, took these two side characters in Happy Days and then they made their own TV series about them. It's kind of like as if Chris Brooks, the character of Choco Pro, had his own TV series made about it. You know what I mean?
It very much, like, there's a reason why we cover Bakugaishin on this show. And it's not just because we both love Bakugaishin. It's because it does feel like very much a part of the Gatto Move Galaxy.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Part of the same shared universe. And you're seeing that a little bit more with Sakura Days getting Mal coming in as well.
Yeah, so, like, there's a huge, 100%, man. Like, you could see, and the whole connection, even, it's beyond. Like, I mean, it's, you could see the strong connections throughout with Gatto Move people, Choco Pro people, and, like, Bakugaishin people. You know, like, not only through the shows, wrestling shows, but even in, like, the music shows. Like, Mal was just at the at the Sakura Days show, and I swear to you that that match came about because of Antonio Honda and Dicets. Their recent show, like, last week was Dicets X Malfac and Mal's band, Mal's former band, Eito. Played, they opened up for Dicets, and of course Dicets, Chie is Dicets' number one fan, and at every Dicets show, and of course Antonio Honda and Shino Hagane and Trans Am Hiroshi, all Choco Pro alumni or current wrestlers are Dicets, essentially. Dicets drummer, I won't name her name because she's not a wrestler, but, you know, but she comes to Choco Pro fairly. I've seen her like 3 or 4 times as a fan at Choco Pro. Mei, Otoki. I've seen a lot of. Otoki was at one. Mei was at one. Chie's at everyone. Like, I mean, so there's these connections, right? And I think Mal literally joined the Sakura Days show basically off the back of him and Honda playing that music show together and connecting even stronger. And then them saying, well, let's do a match together. And then they talk to Sakura and there you go. It's on the card.
A first ever match, because we didn't see them face off at Baka Gaijin. That was Antonio Honda versus Mikan Cassidy.
Yes, that was Mikan Cassidy. That was 100% Mikan Cassidy.
Possibly a long lost relation to Mao, though.
Yeah, exactly. But it's really cool the way all these kind of things, these little things intersect. And like, it's just fun because, like, being a fan of one, you start to open the door to all these other little things, right? So it's this community, which is fun. But anyway, I'm rambling as usual. We can always get back to Baka Gaijin more later, or if you'd like, we could just finish.
Well, I think we should talk about the main event a little bit, because unfortunately, like, you had to have been there.
Yes. I even talked to Chris about it. I was curious, like, so during the El Amigo match, the post, what they call it? The extra bonus track. I think they've termed it the bonus track. I asked Chris about it. Because at the time we were allowed to take photos, but not videos. Yes. And you're allowed to post the photos on social media as well, but no videos. I asked Chris, hey, what are the off chances that on the DVD, will that be part of the DVD? And sadly, no, it will not, because that is also off limits, apparently. So even if you get the DVD, you won't be able to get that match, sadly.
Was wondering, because they were filming it, like they filmed it.
They 100% filmed it, but I don't think they'll be able to use it for anything. I mean, they filmed it just in case, right? So it does exist on film in case there is some possibility someday. But from what I understand, as it stands now, I don't even think it'll be part of the DVD for that event, sadly. At least that was the last time I talked to Chris. So you never know if things change. But a couple weeks ago when I asked him about it, that was the sad answer that I got. Because my thought was like, man, is that going to be on the DVD? Because if so, that's a great, great reason for people to go out and buy that DVD. Be like, hey, buy the DVD and you're going to get this great match, you know?
That alone
absolutely would sell it. Like, of course, music and stuff like that in the DVDs, which is good. But like, that is talk about an extra for a DVD. I've been wanting to talk to Chris more about it. I actually talked to last time. I was like, oh yeah, I wanted to talk to you about the DVD stuff, because I literally want to pick his brain about, like, hey, have you thought about this, that, and the, you know, A, B, C, or D for the possible DVD release, and see what he thinks. But I want to pitch Chris on, like, filming extra behind the scenes stuff and all this stuff that could be great things for the DVD, right? At least it's stuff that I would really be interested in buying a DVD for. So.
Even if it's like a special edition best of Baka Gaijin when I do some compilation stuff.
Yeah, you never know, right?
But yeah, unfortunately, it sounds like the Amigo match, the bonus track, is going to be a little bit of lost media, except for Chris and probably the direct people around him who can get that. So
you got some great photos of that. I remember you got an amazing photo, like some of the photos of Amigo pulling out the fire extinguisher and just going to town on people. Your angle, I mean, was like, because Amigo happened to be, Amigo's corner was literally like, Trent and I could have literally tagged into the match. Like,
I was trying to. I thought I'm about Chris's height, twice the size of Chris width-wise, but I'm about his height. But unfortunately, they knew each other well enough to tag to the right people. But look, I felt incredibly blessed to be over there at the right time, to be able to somehow get a ticket to this show, and then to bear witness to such a unique, special thing. I wish everyone listening to this could see it, because I'm not just saying this to make everyone jealous. This is probably at minimum top three Baka Gaijin matches in terms of just like in excitement, chaos, general quality. Like, they really did go all out for this. You could tell it was a case of, we're not going to get a chance to do this regularly ever again. Let's just go all out. You know, they were fighting on the roof. Mao was back in the bar area. The fire extinguisher went off. They were, you know, berating them for not truly being Baka friends, and uniting the entire team against Amigo for a little bit. It really was a special match.
I mean, he's El Amigo. He's the number one friend in the world. Like, how could people go against him? But actually, it's interesting. So The interesting thing about the El Amigo thing is like, so Baka Gaijin, I was talking to one of the other fairly regular Baka Gaijin fans. One of the, I don't want to name people because just, you know, I didn't approve it with them first. But I would say that one of the regular, the people that tends to get a ticket fairly consistently, I know they come all the way from Osaka to Baka Gaijin regularly. And I was talking with them the other day and I was like, oh yeah, you know, because there was the Chris just at yesterday's show, I picked up, you know, one of Chris's new pins for Death by Roll Up. They're really, really nice. And, you know, they were meant to debut, I think. So today there's a event in one of the hotels, like kind of like a pre-event. Free pre-event for DDT for the 17th show, just kind of like a, in the hotel, and you know, all the boys will be dressed nicely and all that, and so they've got a special event going on in DDT today. Obviously I can't go because I'm quite busy today. But I think they were going to do some merch there perhaps, but I think officially the merch was meant to drop on the 17th. He was meant to have it at the DDT show on the 17th, which is the big 27th anniversary show. And there's some Death by Roll-Up pins, but it pays to be a Gato Move fan because Chris said, you know what, I'm bringing them to Gato Move. So the actual first chance to buy them was at last night's Gato Move Sakura Days show. So it tends to pay to be a Gato Move fan. Because sometimes you get special bonuses, like the first opportunity to buy special merch that no one else gets.
Well, because he did that with the Baka Gaijin shirt too.
Yeah, he did that with the Baka Gaijin shirt too. Yeah. It's interesting. Actually, me and Chris became, I would say, like one of the foundations of our friendship. And the fact that Chris gave me the time of day, if you will, and didn't just immediately like whatever, is the fact that I'm a Choco Pro fan and I support Choco Pro. Like, because Chris appreciates Choco Pro. And so he tends to like, if you're a Choco Pro fan and you go out of your way and you try and you're like, and he sees that you support that, he's in his eyes, he's like, all right, this good person, you know what I mean? Type of thing. So he immediately kind of puts you on a better pedestal than otherwise, I guess. And so that's pretty cool. But yeah, so I was able to pick up some cool Death by Roll-Up merch yesterday. But yeah, so anyway, the reason I mention it is because I was talking to someone who I know I see at Baka Gaijin, and I know they may have designed this one actually, but I mean, actually, I do know it's their art. They are the person who designed that. And they had posted about the designs, and I was like, yeah, they're really cool. I was like, oh, I know that you're not in, they had said that they weren't going to be in town for the 317 show. And I messaged them. I was like, hey, do you need me to pick you up? Like, I'll be at the 317 show. Should I buy extra one for you? And they're like, oh no, I'm sure Chris will hold one for me. I mean, you know, I did design one of them.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, he'll probably just hold one for you. I feel silly to have asked at this point, but you know, I just wanted to make sure they had a chance to get it. I didn't even remember. Like, oh yeah, I forgot that is your art. But yeah, but anyway, so I was like, oh yeah, hopefully I'll see you at the, she's like, yeah, because I don't know when I'll see you again. I was like, oh, probably at the Baka Gaijin show, I imagine. She's like, well, she's like, yeah, I don't know, but Baka Gaijin, she's worried about because it's already hard enough to get a ticket for Baka Gaijin, right? Like it's already like super difficult because everybody wants to go and it sells out instantly. And so she's concerned, like, she's like, yeah, with the New Japan, with El Amigo showing up, I worry, you know, because like, it got a lot of attention and maybe there's going to be a lot of like New Japan fans that are now going to be like, oh, I want to get to this Baka Gaijin. And now like, you know, what was already a difficult ticket to get is probably even going to become even more difficult to get. Right. And I was like, I understand. It's like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's mixed feelings, right? Because like for one, it's great because you love to see Baka Gaijin succeed. You love to see Chris succeed because he absolutely deserves it. The team that they have that puts together Baka Gaijin does an amazing job. They put on a great show literally every time. They've got great buzz. Everything they do with it is just cool. And it feels authentic, right? As we've talked about numerous times. So it's great. You want to see it succeed and you want to see them get, you know, as many people to learn about it and buy into it, if you will, as possible. But at the same time, Baka Gaijin also has developed this very nice community and feeling of family around it. I don't know, because it was your first time going there, but I'm sure you felt it. Like,
oh, for sure.
a lot of people, you know, you'll see a lot of the same people that tend to go a lot. They have a very diehard audience of fans that are like really into it, that that make sure that they are like reserving tickets ASAP, like the second it opens up. And so there's this feeling of family there. So like in one sense, I would be sad to see that feeling of community and family go away. Right. So it's like, it's one of those things. It's like, it's like, what do you do? Right. How do you keep this sense of community and family, but grow it? Right. But you know, to me, that's just something obviously I think about, because Chris, I don't think thinks about that at all. Cause he honestly, Chris doesn't give a crap about making money with Baka Gaijin. Like, he honestly doesn't give he doesn't care about making any money at all with it. Like he doesn't need to make money. He just wants to do it because he loves doing it and he likes building that community, right?
The reality is he could run Baka Gaijin at a bar twice the size, or hell, even in like a Shinkiba or a Shinkiba face.
Oh, absolutely.
But like it would lose part of its identity, because Arena Shimokitazawa has become such an integral part of what it is. Because you get to people who have watched the shows pretty much know what the entire venue looks like back to front. Whether it's the ceiling, whether it's the elevator, whether it's backstage and stuff, you've seen everything that there is to see just by watching these shows. It does feel like a extra part. The roof. Yeah, it feels like its own special character. And like to move it away from there, even if it meant you could sell more tickets, and maybe in the long run that could make more sense, it wouldn't feel right. He almost needs to do like season tickets for the diehard regulars. Like if you sign up for like a 12 ticket pack, you get the instant access. And then there's probably going to be like 3 tickets available for the single show people that want to come.
What would happen is he would sell out every seat I guarantee you what would happen is he would have like 100 people happy to sign up for that season pass thing and guarantee tickets for every show.
Absolutely.
And then it would be like, well, we're still, you know, it's an embarrassment of riches, I guess.
It's a credit to how strong the shows are, how much a following Chris and the entire team has.
Yeah.
And the community
goes beyond Chris. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not just Chris. That community that built, just like with Choco Pro, like you've got your diehard regulars who are so ingrained into the culture of Choco Pro. Right. And Baka Gaijin works in the same way. Like, as an outsider, really, who came into that show, I knew a couple of people that you'd introduced me to through the week prior. You could tell everyone knew everyone there. It was like going to a bar that has its every regulars who go every single week and know each other by name, and they buy each other drinks and they're invested in each other's lives. It's such a cool vibe that I wish I could be a part of regularly. But even if I lived in Japan, I'd be scrounging at that email door at 7 p.m. every time the tickets went on sale with no actual guarantee. So
yeah.
I'm glad to have gone once. It was my the thing I claimed at the end of last year that I wanted to be able to do at least once. I've ticked it off. It couldn't have gone any better. Of all, if I could only go to one Baka Gaijin show, I sure
that's
as hell
one to go one to one for sure. Well, okay. Yeah. That, or I'll be honest, like it was great. I'm not going to lie. I loved it. But at the same time, it's been a while since we've seen our Choco Pro folks at Baka Gaijin. I want to see, like, and it's sad because a lot of the Choco Pro folks were in some of the very early Baka Gaijins. Like it was in the start of Baka Gaijin, Choco Pro wrestlers really helped kick it into what it is, right? But it's been a little while since we've seen some of our Choco Pro regulars, just by nature of the beast, right? So I wouldn't mind seeing Aki and Chie and Mei. Obviously I see every Baka Gaijin, Sayaka is there doing merch stuff and helping out. Kaori-san, who's a Gata Move staff, is at every single Baka Gaijin. Well, most. She's missed one or two because she was busy with work. But like, so there's still a connection with Choco Pro and Gata Move. But it's been a while since we've seen Chie DK or, you know.
I reckon once she's healthy, she'll be back. Yeah,
what's
I
that?
Think the once she's healthy again, I think we'll see her back in the ring on the mat.
The mat.
Yeah, because like it's one thing for her to be there supporting here and there, but for her to actively do the Chi DK thing, she really does need to be healthy. And that injury has been long term.
Chie especially feels like one of the, like, if there's any other than the injury, you know, if there's like Chie and Mao have kind of been on like almost every single Baka Gaijin outside of when Chie got injured, right? So Chie feels super integral to Baka Gaijin as a entity. So
yeah.
I would like to see when Chie returns, I'm pretty sure Chris will do something special. Although, you know, it's hard to beat the, like everybody is Chie.
Yeah, well, we've had her in a range of different gimmicks and characters, and we've had people facing her in a range of different Chie characters. The four Chie thing would have been perfect as her return match.
As a return match, but they've already done it, right?
Look, I would be okay with seeing Chris and Mecha Mummy doing Chie variants. I'd be down with that. Maybe Chris dressing as Chie, dressing as Chris.
Matt, could you imagine Mecha Mummy getting powered up with Chie's DNA?
It's incredibly scary, and I'm all
just for running it. In circles around the entire bar.
But yeah, sorry, I am.
That would be amazing. That would be absolutely amazing.
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to see Chie wrestle on this trip. She was injured, yeah. But she was at all of the Choco Pro stuff, mm-hmm. Just doing the support stuff. She's fantastic at. And it was really great to see her doing that. One of the events I did go to see, which I think is very much worth mentioning for multiple reasons, is the Darajo kind of exhibition thing they did. It was a special sort of showcase event for all of the Darajo trainees. They held it on Saturday, which I was able to attend, thankfully. When I first heard about it, I'm like, that would be cool to go to, but I'm going to a lot of wrestling already. Do I go to it? And Jeff kind of talked me into it. And then I was at the Friday event, and like Kaori-san was talking to me and was like, are you coming tomorrow? And I'm like, probably. And then when she mentioned she was wrestling, I felt kind of I had to go. I had to be there. And I'm so glad I did make that decision, because it was such a really cool event to see. If you haven't watched it yet, it is up on YouTube. I absolutely recommend watching it, because the Darajo project itself is something that I think is just a fantastic concept. It's something, the more and more I've looked into it, the more I've got behind it as a concept. And to see it kind of in its, I guess its fullest form in this kind of exhibition show, was just a fantastic highlight of what it's all about. You got to see a range of people, different ages, taking part, showcasing, you know, what it's all about. You saw people who will never enter a Choco Pro mat for a proper match because they don't want to, because they're doing it for exercise. And you got to literally see someone who graduated on that day. She graduated, she was given the right to become a Choco Pro wrestler, and she made her debut at the Sakura Day shows, which had literally just happened. Won't be up on YouTube by the time this comes out, but thankfully we have our man on the ground who's at every show, Jeff, who can give us a little bit of a quick insight about the whole show, but I think specifically, how did Eri go in her first ever match?
Well, I mean, we can go straight into that. I'm a little sad that the Darajo exhibition was just kind of walked over.
We were going to come back to that. Just in the movement and the groove.
All right. Let's talk about that. But I'd like to circle back to that Darajo a little bit later if we can, because I do think that was a really cool and unique opportunity. And I want to talk about that a little bit and what that is. And going into Eri. So of course, Eri, we saw her. I think that Darajo Extra, I think number 12, I think it was their 12th one. I can't remember exactly. But that was our first chance to see. That was Aerie's first exhibition match that I know of anyway. Mm. And that was just a few weeks before what ended up being her actual debut. So like, when was that Darajo Extra? Do you remember the exact date of that?
The 24th,
like,
second.
So 22nd? 24th. So the 24th of February was Darajo Extra.
Yeah.
So Darajo Extra was 24 February. And we know that I believe that was her first exhibition match.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday, the 13th of March, as of when we're recording this, was her actual first debut match. So you're talking about from her very first exhibition match to her actual debut was 19 days. Yeah. So you're talking about like 3 weeks from her first exhibition to actually a debut match. That's pretty impressive. That's pretty quick. Of course, she's been training longer than that, of course, because it takes time to prepare even to get ready for an exhibition match.
Mm.
But yeah, I was just at the show yesterday. I will say this, man, one thing I loved, and I remarked to some of the folks that I was at the show with, is I absolutely love how in Japan, it could be your very first match. Like, this is your debut. You've never wrestled a match ever again, ever before. Yet all the audience is behind you. You know, in America, people are like, oh, who's this green, like, newbie, whatever. Let's just hope they get squashed. Whereas in Japan, on your first match, everybody is absolutely cheering for you and wants you to win. I mean, of course, they know you're not going to win, but everyone cheers 100% for you. So it was Ari and Sayaka. And you know how in America, it's like, oh, maybe we'll give the rub to this new person. I think it was the opposite. I think Sayaka, by nature of being Aerie's tag partner, got the rub from Aerie. but no, everyone was loving it. Like, everyone's like, Aerie, Aerie, as Aerie's fighting from underneath. And then, you know, she's getting her butt kicked. She finally gets a tag into Sayaka, and Sayaka had a great hot tag as everyone's like, yeah, you know, kick their butts. You know, and it was really, really fun. Sayaka and Aerie versus Sakura-san and Makoto. So, you know, Makoto, we've seen in previous Gato Move shows, Sayaka and Makoto having a bit of a, you know, Sayaka looking up to Makoto in a way. So that was really cool. I thought it was a great, like, it was a perfect matchup, those two teams. You know, and Sakura, everyone, you know, Sakura is absolutely someone you love to boo, especially in a match against a debuting rookie. Oh, yeah. So it was wonderful. Ari has gotten so it seems like her signature move is a kind of like a kind of a spear-esque leg, kind of single leg, kind of pull takedown type of deal. I don't know how to describe it exactly, but that's kind of, it looks to be one of her signature moves. And then she also has what looks to be like a, maybe a palm strike, like a, she winds it up quite a bit, and man, did she wind it up last night. Shit, she was across the ring and whoa, she's waving it in the arm, and everybody in the crowd's whoa, and she just ran across and just boom, straight into Sakura's chest to knock her down. So that was really fun, and all the crowd got super into that extended kind of build to the finish move, which I think is an important aspect. To get that crowd to get behind you. Aerie's gear was beautiful. Her colors are like a bright lime, like a bright green and silver. She has, it's a two-piece pants and top set, which looked really cool. I thought it suited her really well. And her hair was in like kind of like long, her hair is really long, long pigtails, twin tails, I guess you could call it. Yeah, it was great. I don't know what her music is. I don't know if she has music yet, because they came out as a team to Sayaka's music, which I absolutely adore Sayaka's music. But yeah, it was great. It was great. I won't tell you who won. You know, I want to spoil the match on Aerie's debut in Gato Move against Emi Sakura. I won't tell you who won.
I got my money on the Rook.
Okay, I hope you don't bet too much. No.
I got my life savings down, Pat. I know a guy who knows a guy who will take that bet for me. And I'll report back next month with all of my riches.
Yeah, but I mean, outside of that, like, I don't know. I'm pretty sure, I mean, you'd have to be living under a rock as a Gato Move fan, Choco Pro fan, to not be familiar with the card. But I don't know if you want to run down the full card or not. But, man, they put together a hell of a card. Like, this thing felt like I was like, oh my god, this thing is stacked. Gato Move, Emi Sakura is here to make a statement. Like, this was clearly a statement on their road to Korakuen, which I hope Gato Move and Choco Pro fans are excited for, because man, this card was just, they pulled out all the stops. So if they pulled out all these stops for a Shinkiba show, imagine what they're going to do for Korakuen.
Yeah, it really did feel like, I mean, they generally put on a good show with these Gato Move events, but this one felt like they're making a statement. The obvious thing, I think, for a lot of people coming in is the fact that Mizuki from TJPW was appearing wrestling, which makes a lot of sense given her history with Gato Move. That's how she got into wrestling. But getting her on for a show like this and facing Miyu Tsuba, that's just a really cool match. Obviously, you had the debut. You had CMDK wrestling together against Guy Hawks and Wrecker. You had the aforementioned Antonio Honda and Mao singles match that we also alluded to before. And then, of course, the main event, which was the four-person tag match for the...
Eight-person.
Yes, yes. What did I say?
You said four-person tag match, which is a regular tag match.
I mean, you make a good point, but you also make me look bad. So how dare you?
No, it was like a four-team... I guess we would most call it like a tornado tag in the States, but it was like a, they said no touch rules. So I guess, you know, no tagging, you don't have to tag in or anything like that. All four teams active at all times.
Craziness. Yeah, so Best Bros defending in that match.
Best Bros versus the world, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Some of those team names are very long, and anytime I tried to bring short ninja choke, I got told off, so I won't do that again. I will warn you guys, it's even easier to find the results of that main event than usual on Twitter. Obviously, Gato Move haven't posted it themselves, but like I was checking a couple of things just before this episode. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, they're the people who won the match. So just be aware of it, especially if you're going to May's Twitter account, which bears mentioning, and we will get back to Dara's show, but it bears mentioning May has her original Twitter back. I don't know whether Elon Musk listens to ChocoCast, heard our complaints on the last episode. So I will fix that. But the original May Gato Move account is fixed, which is really good to see. Back to full fan count, I'm guessing. And if you go on there, you can also see the fact that her, Bali and Aki and Emi Sakura went down to Kyoto earlier this week to give a bit of a lecture on pro wrestling and a bit of a demonstration to a junior high school in Kyoto, which... Look, there's not a lot of information surrounding this. We're not going to spend too much time on it, but it's just a pretty cool thing. I would have loved to have gone to school back in the day and found out that I'm getting a showcase from Emi Sakura, Mei Tsuruga, and Bali Naki. Even if, when I was a school kid, I wouldn't have heard of any of those people, and Mei Tsuruga would have definitely been too young to be a professional wrestler.
Yeah, I also it's so cool, like, because I used to do ALT, like I was an assistant language teacher or English teacher in Japan when I first got out of university here. And so actually when I was an English teacher here, I thought about that numerous times, like, man, I would love to bring, and I actually thought about, like, maybe I wonder if it'd be possible to talk to Gato Move folks and see about like setting something like that up, because we had some like volleyball folks and like some we had some Special Olympics basketball players, some from the Australian Special Olympics team came, and they talked about that with the kids, and they got to see a little bit of the basketball. And I was thinking, like, how cool would it be to be able to do so? And I actually had a similar idea to this, but it was something I never like asked, because I was not sure if they would be interested. But now I know, I should have, because they clearly would have enjoyed it. But but yeah, like, so I think it's really cool. And what I think it must have been, I'm thinking, so I remember a few months back, May had been visiting home, and I remember she had on her social media, she posts like she met her old teacher, her old like junior high school teacher for lunch or something like that, who happens to be a pro wrest fan. And so like, I'm sure that must have been at that lunch. That's must have how it happened, right? I don't know for certain, but I feel that's probably what may have happened. So I'm curious if it was like actually May's old junior high school or not, or if it not, because teachers tend to move around to a lot of different schools quite every 3 years or so, you'll shift to a different school often in Japan. But so I wonder if not her old school, perhaps at least one of her old teachers at their current school, maybe.
I had thought that myself. Yeah, I even double checked what she'd said on the tweets, because I'm like,
she didn't specifically mention the school, because obviously privacy sake for the kids.
Yeah, she didn't mention the school. The closest she came to was saying like that the school lunches had changed since she was a kid. But yeah, she didn't necessarily say it was, you know, these
So it's probably like the same school district in Kyoto at the very least, right? Probably the same district she grew up in. Plus, because for the kids there in that area, knowing that she came from that same area, it's going to be more impactful for them, right?
Oh, for sure. It's always a bit more special when a hometown hero comes back and showcases what they're doing. And I mean, especially for someone like Mei, who not that long ago, obviously not junior high, but like she's not that old. She's not that far removed from being in school herself. And now she's traveling the world doing this thing. Yeah, it's not just the small little wrestling.
She's someone that the students can look at and they can see themselves in her, I believe, right? It's someone that, like, if they look at Mei or the boys, I can imagine. I know what junior high school life is like, because, like I said, I've been in ALT for a couple of years, and I know what the atmosphere is. And so I can very clearly imagine the atmosphere of the school and how excited the boys were for Aki, and how excited and cool how the girls were probably looking at Mei, and she was super cool. So, like, I can imagine that had a very big impact on a lot of students there at that school. And I can imagine they were probably the talk of the school for probably at least the week of, you know, at least the following, like the next 4 or 5 days, probably everyone in the school is still talking about it. You know what I mean? And the boys are probably still trying to cross body off the gymnasium stage at each other. Probably. I saw some photos where Mei did a flying cross body off the stage. So I'm pretty sure that was probably like a once in a life experience for those kids. So
I'm sure the teachers are on high alert for kids wrestling in the corridors and having to break.
Oh yeah. I remember
no practicing the Royal Dolphin Press in class.
Right, exactly. Because I know, like, those kids get excited quickly and they love it. Like, I know, because I did high school wrestling. So during, we were doing judo in the school when I was teacher. And I was like, I didn't have classes at that time. So whenever I didn't have my own classes, I would often go to the gym and join the kids for PE and things like that. And they were doing judo. When they were doing judo, there's a couple classes that I joined in, and I taught them some of the high school wrestling stuff that I know, you know, because there's still some simple things. You can, I'll show you one or two things, just showing them like shooting in for like a single leg and stuff like that. And they would love that. Like, again. I'm like, all right, let's see. Because they would get their little judo stance or whatever. And I'm like, all right. And I would like shoot in for a quick single leg on them. And they'd be like, hey, how did you do that? It looks. And I'm like, all right. I taught them how to do like a single leg. And so I can imagine if they had that simple effect of me teaching them something silly like that, I can only imagine what seeing Mei and Aki and Emmy put on proper wrestling match actually did for those kids' excitement levels.
Hopefully we hear stories of like young Kyoto kids who are now obsessed with Gato Move and Choco Pro, and maybe a few of them can come up for the Kuroken Hall show. I don't know if that's like on school holidays or not, but it'd be cool if it was. But yeah, back to Darajo. It's all interconnected. This was a very cool event and cool show. You're a bit more familiar with it than maybe I am, because you know several of the people who are taking part. But this event itself, like as I mentioned before, if you haven't watched it yet on YouTube, definitely go check it out. It's only an hour long, but it's really cool to see them sort of transition from the fitness kind of things. And like, I'm watching the fitness stuff going, I'm worn out just watching them go. And then they had to do like all these different drills and exercises before going to the exhibition stuff. For a 1 hour thing, they do a lot in this 1 hour section. Like, you can tell Emmy's worked hard and Mei's worked hard to get these women to a level that even if they don't want to debut as professional wrestlers, the fitness is there. They're putting in the work. Aki talked to us after the show and he was saying like some of the stuff that they have to do, he struggles with. Partly because it's a flexibility thing and most women are inherently more flexible than men. But like he was like, yeah, no, this is legit tough stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they find that's the cool thing about the Darajo project as a whole. You know, it's like it's something that's accessible for even a three-year-old kid. But at the same time, you know, there's levels to it. And it's also something where people who want to more seriously look into debuting like Ari or others, where they can level it up very quickly into you know, like everything they teach is absolutely like a fundamental base point in how to become a pro wrestler. And I love how they do everything very safely and very, like, you know, like rolling, all the rolling that they do. They do a ton of rolling. They do, and they, you know, Chie is proud to say that, you know, so at the Darijo extra shows, which is what we went to, though, they have competition, mm-hmm. right? They have like the dropkick competition mm-hmm. and it's judged by the wrestlers. And, you know, they have like various lockup competition, dropkick competition, exhibition matches and all this. And I don't think Chie ever won the dropkick competition, but she is the proud winner of the beautiful roll competition. And she is proud that she's won that. And she demonstrated her beautiful roll at Choco Pro the other day. And it was quite exciting to see because that means Chie is back doing some movement. That means Chie is back.
Whether she should be or not is another question.
Yeah, so she's been taking part in Darijo training recently. So Chie is getting ready for her ring return. I don't know how soon it will be, but she's absolutely doing something physical, which is good. You know, like I'm sure she's not 100% back into it, obviously, but she's back to getting warmed up, getting back into things. So, you know, that's extremely exciting, you know. So Darijo Extra, Darijo is great. It leads itself into Aries' debut because, like I said, Aries' debut was just 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks after the Darijo Extra show. So, and it was really cute in Aries. So they, as the lights went out and Ari and Sokka are going to make their entrance on the, from my side. So like from the camera view, cause like, I believe the commentary was behind me. So the right side, I think from the angle that you'll see on the camera, the main shot, hard cam, if you will, to the right, you'll see like 9 or 10 green lights, just whoop, looks like little lightsabers coming on and cheering for Ari. And it was like a little Darijo cheering section. It was super cute. Like all the current Darijo folks, all the girls that were in the extra show, they were there cheering on Ari. And I talked to one Haru from the Darijo Extra show, who was in the main event of Darijo Extra. I messaged her afterwards. We were talking about Aries' match, and she had shared some photos from it. And then I commented simply, "Your future," and she was like, "I hope so." So I'm like, "All right, let's go." So I think it really helped some of the current Darijo folks to see. You know, just as I was talking about, those kids can see May and see themselves in May, perhaps. I think some of the other Darijo folks saw Aries' great debut and it helped to solidify in their minds, like, hey, actually, yeah, I could 100% be the next one, right? So that's pretty exciting. So I definitely say this current crop of Darijo folks, keep your eye on, because I would not be surprised to see several wrestlers come out of this class that they have right now. There's like a good, you know, four or five that are really training a lot, and I think they're seriously thinking about their own possible future debuts. So it's really great to see right now.
Yeah, you can tell like a lot of those fundamentals are already very strong, and yeah, it's a safe way to learn wrestling. Because obviously it's not meant to be for people who only want to become professional wrestlers, which I think is one of the coolest things, because you talk like most wrestling schools would not be interested in you if you can't then become it. Like if you're not intending,
they can't make money off you, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like this is, it takes time and effort to train these people up, but Emi Sakura is not doing this to turn every single person into a wrestler. She's doing it just to expand the concept and notion of wrestling. And yeah, people can do this as a fitness thing, and it's like any other martial art in a lot of ways. Like,
and it's a but it's a way cheaper than a lot of fitness gyms in Japan.
that is true. Cheaper. And you're getting a workout. That is absolutely true. As I mentioned, I was watching this exhibition stuff, and I was like, "Oh, okay, yeah." Just after the warm-ups.
Yeah, it reminded me, like, seriously, I was getting so, like, for me, you know, it reminded me back when I was in the Army and basic training and all that stuff. And, you know, when they were doing the kind of side kind of sprints left and right. Yes. And Emmy would, like, basically call out, like, left or right, Hidari Nigi, like, go left, go right, go left, go left, go left, go right. And just, like, random on them, you know, it was all fun, you know. And it just, man, it's just the funness of that. It reminded me, man, that was, like, when I used to do Army and we used to do something called front back, like, oh, I got to teach Aki this army exercise, or teach Emmy or May this army exercise, because I think it would be perfect for Darejo. We used to, it's called front back goes. And you'd have the drill sergeant would just randomly call out front, back, or go. And depending on which one it is, there's a different exercise. So front is push-ups. Mm-hmm. Back is flutter kicks. You get on your back and you're kicking your legs up and down. And then go is you're back on your feet and you're kind of like high knees or running in place. Yep. And the hard part about it is the transitioning between movement, right? So like, mm-hmm. you know, they're like, go, and you're like, you're running in place, and all of a sudden front, and you have to drop down quickly into push-ups, back, and from push-ups you flip over and you're on your back, and then go, and like it could go, and like when you're really messing with them, like you go through to like front, back, go, back, back, front, back, and they're just like up, down, and like it's intense, but it's really fun too, right? Like I think so. And that's the way I look at the Darejo stuff. Like you could see they're having so much fun, but at the same time they're getting their butts kicked a little bit, right? So it lends itself, because it's one of those type of things where like you kind of can push yourself, right? Like it's like it's a type of exercising where like, you know, like you could give a little bit more and you want to. Like I remember, you know, like they were doing something and drop down and do this, and you know, one of the wrestlers, like maybe they slipped a little bit, but then they're like, ah, they got it, and they do it right back into it, right? Yeah. It's like, heck yeah, do it, you know. It's really fun. So it's very infectious to see that type of enthusiasm and the smiles, everyone, and everybody like positively reinforcing each other. You gotta love it, right?
Yeah, it was just a really special event. I felt very fortunate to be able to be there. The girls
the shared beers afterwards didn't help.
Look, I was shocked. I wasn't expecting to get a freebie, and like I'm not a big drinker. I would typically go for the soft drink or the water in that situation, but they just handed me a beer, and I'm like, eh, okay. It was Sapporo, which like I don't drink a lot of beer, but I do like Sapporo. So yeah, earliest beer I've ever had in my life. But special occasion, got to celebrate with the team, celebrate the new ghetto move regular. The final thing from that event that I do want to talk about that needs to be addressed is Nonoka Seto coming out and stunting on all of them with her costume. Like, everyone was there just in their exercise gear, as you would expect, and then she comes out in the full wrestling gear, the full, like, robe.
With a nice new robe. Like, that was some Wrestle Kingdom robe.
It was gorgeous. Like, I like the yellow gear that she has. Like, it suits her. It works well. If she ever decides to go to this as her regular gear.
Yeah, that kind of blue, right? It was like blue and black.
Yeah, it was black and blue, a little bit of gold. It felt like a, I'm going for a title match.
I think it is Nonoka, because she came through Darejo as well. Nonoka also originally was a Darejo member, but she's now a full-time member.
Yes.
So she has to represent. She can't come in like a regular Darejo member. She has to come in and, you know, show the difference, if you will.
Yeah. I'm already on the team. You must reach this level to pass.
Absolutely. And I think it's good, because I think for all those other Darejo members there, they see that's a bridge. Nonoka is the bridge. She comes in and it's like, yeah, she's one of us, but she's not one of us. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think it was cool. I thought it was a good choice.
Something she made for like her school graduation. Like that was a thing she made for a while back. Like I thought it was something she'd made just to stunt on all the trainees, but this was something she had from way back. So it was really cool, I think, for her to be able to sort of debut this as well.
Oh, cool. Is that okay? Yeah, I had no clue about it. I don't know. All I know is it was nice. So she probably made it as a student as one of her projects or something then.
Yeah, it was like her final project.
Yeah, that thing was cool.
Studying. And then afterwards, Mia was walking around and it looked like she decided to commandeer it, the robe. It looks fantastic. Like, it's worth watching the show just to see that and everyone's reaction, because she starts off in the gear like everyone else, and then there's a period where people are doing things and some people are off camera, and she got changed during that thing. And then when they called her in for it might have been the exhibition match or something, she just rocks up in this. Everyone's just going, oh, what? Fantastic stuff. Go watch the show, go support Darejo when they're doing like the random live streams and stuff. It is truly a special thing. It's something I'd love to dive into more and maybe research and write about, because it is such a unique training regime and way to get into pro wrestling, but I think there is something truly special about it. Just like Ghetto Move as a whole, there is something unique and special about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
One other thing to talk about does involve Emi Sakura. TJPW Grand Princess is coming at the end of the month, and there is a very special match. Mizuki obviously wrestled on the Sakura Day show. She's getting another taste of Ghetto Move when she teams with Yuka Sakazaki. So Magical Sugar Rabbits are reuniting after Yuka graduated late last year to face Emi Sakura. That's understandable. She's a Joshi. And honorary Joshi, Chris Brooks.
The grandest princess, I think Chris wants
yes,
to be.
Yes, the grandest
Chris
princess. Claimed
he wants to be the grandest princess. Of Grand Princess.
It makes sense because Emi is the queen and Chris is, you know, coming up as one of her princesses. Leaving the commentary booth for this one, I cannot wait for this. I'll tell you what. The show looks fantastic anyways. TJPW going all out for this show. I think we're getting Minoru Suzuki versus Maki Ito for another example. But yeah. This match, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, oh boy, if I wasn't watching TJPW already, I am definitely watching now.
Yeah, the reaction to that announcement was big. Like when they announced this, you could, I don't know, maybe it's just because, you know, it's like an echo chamber and you know how the algorithms tend to, you know, whatever you're following, you tend to see a lot, but it did seem like quite a strong positive reaction to the announcement of this and a lot of movement, a lot of people say, hey, a lot of whoa and sharing. And it definitely got a lot of attention and excitement. I mentioned to Chris, like I shot him a message. I was like, man, the reaction to that announcement looked pretty good. And he was like, yeah, actually he was expecting more negativity. Like he was worried there might be some negativity coming out, you know, cause you know how it is. But yeah, so he was quite happy to see, the good response, from the fan base. And, you know, I think it makes perfect sense. I mean, Chris has long done commentary, so
I think that probably makes a big difference. Like people know he's ingrained in the TJPW community. He's not just rocking up for one random match. He knows what they're about and they can trust that he'll fit into the system and work well. And he is also pound for pound the best intergender wrestler, I think. So like you're also, you know, he knows how to handle these kind of situations. I think it's going to be a blast. But it's good to see that people are getting on board with it as well.
Yeah, they teased it last night at Sakura Days. So after the show, it happened to be Mizuki's birthday celebration. So they brought a cake out for Mizuki. Emi Sakura and Chris brought out a cake for Mizuki. And Chris was the one to hand it to Mizuki. And, you know, Mizuki went to blow out, but actually Mizuki blew straight in Chris's face instead of the candles at first, but then she blew out the candles. And as Chris, and then like Sakura made a point for Chris, please, you know, give her the cake. And like, you could see them look at each other and I'm like, oh no, Chris, don't. I'm like, with Chris, anything could happen. I'm like, oh God, please, Chris, don't like shotgun drop kick her in the middle. Like at the end, like, or like throw the cake in her face. Like, oh God, Chris is going to do something terrible, isn't he? But no, Chris was a gentleman. You know, he did point out, you know, he did, you know, like maybe today's a happy day, but there's going to be a lot of tears coming at the end of the month. So, you know, they definitely wanted to make sure Mizuki saw exactly who's coming for them at Grand Princess.
But yeah, it's a very cool, just kind of random, quote unquote, a Ghetto Move invasion of TJPW. But one of their biggest show of the year. So that's a really cool thing. Also quickly mentioned, Chris Brooks is also appearing on the next prominent show to redo the match against Risa Sera, which happened last month. Unfortunately, Risa Sera got injured during that match. They couldn't finish it. But it was clearly something that meant a lot to both of them. And so they wanted to do it properly. So we're getting that match again. Good news is Prominence always upload their matches like incredibly quickly. I think I was at the show where Risa got injured, unfortunately. I think they'd already uploaded the match by the time I got back to the hotel.
Literally, Risa was probably still at the hospital.
Yeah, I'm not sure she'd been cleared yet, but whoever filmed it was like, yep, this is going up. People are going to be talking about it. So that happens on the 18th.
That'll
go up very quickly. So
Chris has a crazy schedule. Like So yesterday was the Sakura days. Today they've got the DDT thing at the, I think it's probably at a hotel. I don't remember exactly. 17th is the 27 anniversary DDT 5-hour show. 18th is the prominent show with the rematch against Risa Sarah, which I think I'm probably going to, if I get a chance, I'm going to go. Cause like you and I were both at the last show. That was one of the other shows that we're able to go to together. So I'll probably go. I don't know. I got to check my bank account balance and see if I can afford it, but I'd like to go because I was at the original one and you know, I'd like to go and support and see them finish that story, if you will.
Finish the story.
That chapter.
Big Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. Finish the Cody Rhodes story. Although I have a feeling this one's going to be a bit more violent than Cody's story.
But, I'd imagine it's pushing the WWE boundaries a little bit based on what Chris Brooks brought out, but couldn't
that, that giant one. Board of forks, I think it was.
Yeah, it was.
And it looked like it was like his birth year.
Both born in 91, which was the kind of what tied the match together. Was the 90.
Yeah. 91. Okay. So they're both born. Oh, okay. She's the same age as Chris. Okay. Great. But that makes sense. Yeah, I think he's like 32 or something like that. I forget exactly. Maybe 33 now. I don't know. But yeah, so I want to see that, right? So like, okay, I got to see if I can get there on the 18th. But then I know Chris is going to the Philippines as well, like a couple days after that. I think he said he's going to be there for like 4 days. So he'll have the match and I think he'll have a couple days of downtime to relax after like an insane... Like that's crazy because you know that DDT show, that's a big DDT show. So he's gonna wanna make the fans go home happy, right? Into a violent match at Risa Sarah literally the next day, and then a couple
and
days
then
later.
And then TJPW flying to America and for
then,
WrestleMania.
Then TJPW America. Yeah, this man's got a lot on his plate these next few weeks.
He's a busy man, he's in high demand. What can you say?
Not a great Jenga player, I can say that. I watched this man lose a Jenga match on his first move. I've never seen. Now, to be fair, this was a mini Jenga set, and the pieces are tiny, so the spaces are tiny. And Chris has some pretty thick fingers, so it's a bit of a disadvantage. But yeah, this. Let's just say he's a lot better wrestler than Jenga player.
How do you lose on the first round? Like, I've not played Jenga. I will.
I didn't know it was possible.
Yeah, I thought like you've got to at least get some. Was he the first person to go? Was he like?
No, I think he was the third person to go. So
I mean, that still is really nice.
Like still, I mean, it was it's insane. I
feel like you've got to palm the entire Jenga tower to knock it over at that stage.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous.
Well, maybe he can spend time in the Philippines practicing Jenga.
But he is very good at rock, paper, scissors. Because I'll tell you, man, he basically won like 80% of the rock, paper, scissors. Like, geez,
he's had years of practice against the best at Jenga. So I presume he'd be pretty damn good at it. That's something we didn't do. We should have played Junkin against each other.
Yeah, we could have filmed it too, actually.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, next time when I get back over there, because I presume it's more likely I'll be back in Japan than you'll come down to Australia, unless Ghetto Move doing.
And Australia if I go to Australia, I don't think Tasmania sounds like a place I'd go. It'd probably be like a bigger city or something. the last time I went to Australia years and years and years ago, I went to Australia for a month and I spent 3 weeks of it in freaking Adelaide. So you never know. I tend to go to nowhere. Useless places and sit there for no reason.
Why did you go to Adelaide?
My friend lived in Adelaide. I went there and I spent 3 weeks at his house hanging out with him and his kids and his wife at the time. And
if you're willing to go to Adelaide, you can come down to Tassie.
Exactly. You know, I had more disposable income back then, so I could make that type of a trip and not worry about it. Just hang out.
Yeah, this is before you were going to like 5 wrestling shows a week.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I'm rambling off into nonsense.
It feels like it's a pretty good spot to bring us to the final parts of our episode. And as always, we've got our sponsorships. I went over there, obviously to go to shows and do research, but I wanted to lock down some sponsorships with some Japanese chocolate companies. I eventually, talked to a few people, worked out what would be best, and eventually settled on Galbay, which I realized when we were talking about Melty Kiss last month. And I was like, aren't they the ones that like don't melt? And that was being ironic. I realized I was talking about these chocolates because they're like the rock art on the outside. They don't melt in your hand. They're quite
heavy. Is it like kind of like a cookie type thing inside of it or something?
Yeah, it's more cookie based. It's almost, it's like a chocolate cookie. Very tasty. It's kind of shaped into like a bullet thing. But I was thinking of those, not Melty Kisses. I had to check both brands, try both of them, you know, make sure I got my chocolates right so I'm not spreading false information on the most important of segments on ChocoCast, the sponsors. But yes, this is the Galbe moment of the month. What was your moment of the month, Jeff?
My moment of the month. Let me think about it. Wait, what was yours? What was yours? Did you say
mine? I haven't said mine yet. I can go first if you'd like.
Okay, you won't
be stealing mine because you weren't there for
it. I just got a message from Aki. I was responding.
That's okay. You weren't there on the Friday show, which I was at, which was the Choco Pro event.
I wasn't there? I can't remember. There was that one show that you went to that I didn't. Was I like
you were doing stuff in Sendai. You had some other work you had to do.
Ah, that's right. Okay.
Yes. You did have an excuse. But yeah, so I was there. Wrestling and Kieran had bought me a Choco bouquet and basically wishing me a happy birthday, which was very nice of them because the show was on my birthday. I didn't think too much of it. I was talking to them afterwards, and because like I wanted to let them know, I'm the person that you've been working with the interviews and some of the articles and stuff. And they were incredibly friendly and, gave me a lot of extra time talking to me and, just talking about what we were doing and, helping them and all of that. And they were very appreciative. I was very appreciative. But then they made the connection that it was me on the Choco bouquet. It was my birthday. And Kaori-san realized and mentioned it to Chia, who I was talking to at the time, and then mentioned it to Sayaka, who was nearby as well. And the three of them then broke out into a happy birthday song, which was incredibly embarrassing for me, but in like the good embarrassing way. This was after the show, thankfully, not a lot of people around, but it was very sweet of them, very kind of them. I got serenaded happy birthday by one of my favorite wrestlers in Chia and one of the nicest people I've met in Kaori and just a fantastic wrestler and person as well in Sayaka. So it's not a moment you'll see on any of the YouTube stuff or any of the Twitters, but for me, that was a very personal, special moment. Getting sung to happy birthday at the Choco Pro event and just really talking to them in general beyond just almost as a fan. Emi Sakura wanted to have a bit of a chat to me and thank me for what we were doing, which is crazy because, to me, I'm thanking them for opening the door and letting us talk to them about stuff. But knowing that it's a mutual appreciation certainly helps.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I'm sad. I wish I'd have been there for that happy birthday song. That's so cool. I'm a little jealous, and they never sing me happy birthday. I don't think they. I've never told them my birthday. So
yeah, well, we can arrange that. Like when it's your birthday at a chocolate.
Actually, no. I actually don't because Chris has already given me crap. So like, I have a whole thing where like whenever people ask me my birthday, I always like or they ask how old I am because they ask all the time because people care. It's a normal question. Oh, how old are you? I joke and I always say Himitsu des, which is secret. Himitsu is secret. And I have a whole long story of why I do this. And it goes back to when I was a Japanese, when I was studying Japanese and, we were doing the Nansai desu ka, which is how old are you in Japanese? Mm. And, we were using that as a way to learn and practice the numbers. And I made a dum-dum of myself. And have I told you this story about me?
No, this is a new one to me.
All right, I guess I'll do the quick version. But anyway, so, I've got my textbook. I just taught myself hiragana and katakana like that, those few days before that. And I was like, oh, I got hiragana down. And, as the students would say, like the number, like, oh, juku desu. And I would have all the numbers 1 to 100. And then underneath the number would say it in Japanese and I could read the hiragana. And so I'm looking through. And so, like juku, like, okay, ju is the first, to sound, so the first hiragana. Okay, juju. Oh, okay, there, juku. Oh, 19, right? And you're going through as people are saying their number. I'm 22. Okay, okay, there. Going through. Got it. One of the students who was a little bit further advanced because he had watched a lot of anime and they were all ready to say, oh, sensei, nanzai desu ka? And I was like, well, this guy can ask the question? Huh? What the heck? He can already ask the question. And so he asked the sensei, how old are you, sensei? And of course, sensei, she said, himitsu desu. And so I'm looking through himitsu. So the joke is, so for those of you that that don't know Japanese. Whenever I say this, I tell Japanese people this, and I tell them, oh, and she said, Himitsu desu, they immediately smile because they know where this story is going. She said, Himitsu desu. So I'm looking through the numbers, and I could not find anything that looks like he. Like, I couldn't find any hiragana for he. And I'm like, what the heck? And I'm looking. So after I spent a while, I'm looking, like, I can't see it. So I raised my hand. And she's like, yes, Jeff-san. And I said, sensei, Himitsu, I don't see it. What number is that? And so then she says, oh, Jeff, secret. And I was like, oh, she doesn't want to tell me because she wants me to find it. She's saying it's a secret she doesn't want to say because she wants me to find it myself and study, right? That's my brain. I'm thinking she wants me to look for it on my own because I'm a student. I should find it myself. She doesn't want to give me the answer. Okay. So I go back to looking at the book. And I mean, I'm looking at it. I am really poring over these numbers. I got 1 to 100. I'm like, really, like, what the heck? I don't see anything. So another few more minutes goes by and I'm so confused. I raise my hand again. She goes, yes, Jeff. And I was like, yeah. I was like, a secret number? And then everybody in the class just starts laughing. And then she's like, no, Jeff, Himitsu means secret. And I'm like, you could visibly see my brain working on my face. You know what I mean? As I'm like, then it finally dawns on me, like, oh, Himitsu is the Japanese word for I'm an idiot. You got this room full of like 18, 19, 20-year-old kids just laughing at me. And I'm like, these little bastards. I fought in the war for this. I defended all of y'all's freedoms for this. You know, my old ass is like getting offended. I'm like, God, I'm just laughing. Like, man, I got so embarrassed. I was like, oh. So then it gets around to me. Jeff, nansai desu ka? I lean back in my seat. Himitsu desu. And then Jeff, and I'm like, sensei, if you could say Himitsu, I could say Himitsu. And so I always say Himitsu ever since then, right? And so I whenever anyone asks my age, I just say Himitsu, secret. And I mean, seriously, like, no one knows, like, in America, all my friends in America know my age, but mostly. Yeah. But in Japan, nobody in Japan knows my age. It's just a secret because it just stemmed off of this joke. Like, it was just funny. I'm like, I'm just going to keep saying secret just for goofs now. It's kind of just to make myself laugh, you know? So I just tell people, Himitsu. And then they're like, really? I'm like, oh, yeah. I have ex-girlfriends that have no freaking clue what my age is. We dated for like 2 years. I'm a terrible person. But yeah, so I'm just like, whatever, secret. It's fine. But
you got to keep the gimmick alive, brother.
But Mr. Chris Brooks happens to have held my Baka Gaijin ticket for ransom because we were in a mixed group and one of the girls asked me about my age and I was like, oh, Himitsu. And then Chris looked at me and he said, Jeff, how old are you? And I was like, Himitsu. And he looked at me and he's like, Jeff? And I was like, Himitsu. He's like, and he just pulls his phone out where he keeps his like list of because after when they, you know, when they open up the Baka Gaijin ticket, you know, he'll track whoever got approved for tickets. He has a document that he tracks all the names on because then there'll be person at the door that goes down the name list, right? So he pulls up his phone and he's like, all right, so. And I have one or two tickets for that show? I forget, but I think I just had one. But he's like, all right, well, there goes your Baka Gaijin ticket. I was like, wait, what? And he's like, he's like literally deleting my Baka Gaijin ticket. I'm like, no, wait, okay, stop.
Did you have to whisper it in his ears?
So now Chris is too damn smart and too damn, I mean, he is fast. I mean, he didn't even take a second. He was like, I mean, like instantly. Okay, well, it's like, man, you're too good at this. Man, I gotta never make Chris mad at me. Okay, got it. But anyway, sorry, that was a complete tangent. I don't even remember how I got on that tangent.
We're talking birthdays.
What's that?
We're talking birthdays because I was going to get them to sing.
Yeah. So, because then Chris was joking. He was like, oh, when's your, like later on, he was like, well, when's your birthday? And he's like, okay, so on your birthday, he's like, okay, yeah, next, if we have Baka Gaijin near your birthday, I'm getting balloons with like, your age on it and putting it out. And I'm like, oh God, Chris. He's like, oh yeah, it's going to be great. And I'm like, dude, don't do it. He's like, oh yeah, you're done. I was like, oh, damn it, Chris. So,
gotta put it up on YouTube for everyone to see.
Yeah. Anyway, at least what he thinks is my birthday.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can just give him a random ass number. And like, unless he requires to see your birth certificate. Yeah.
Anywho, okay, back to my Choco moment of the month. Thank God Chris doesn't listen to this podcast. I don't think, well, maybe he does, but I don't think he does. But if he does, I'm screwed now. Because I've talked about how he tried to hold my tickets for ransom, so now he's probably going to never let me get a ticket.
You just reminded him to do so.
He's like, well, Jeff, you're never getting another ticket again in your life. Chris is a good person. Chris is a great person. My Choco moment of the month, I am going to, and Kieran, do not share that on the internets. I'll just mention this. I got a photo from someone, Thad, who listens to Choco Cast, who's in Japan right now. I met him yesterday.
Thank you, Thad.
Choco Pro show. And he sent me this photo.
That's a melty kiss.
That is a melty kiss. So he sent me a photo of the melty kiss after he arrived in Japan. He sent me this box of chocolates photo, and he said, by your recommendation on the Choco Pro podcast. So my Choco moment of the month is, how cool is it that one of our Choco Cast listeners was in Japan and he bought the chocolate that I mentioned on the podcast and gave it a try and shot me a message about it. And I thought that's super cool. So that's my Choco moment of the month.
And it also proves to our sponsors that don't exist that if you do actually sponsor us and we actually mention the name of your product on this show, we get sales for you. There is someone who went to Japan, and we're going to say specifically to buy this chocolate, not to do other things, specifically to go to Japan to buy this Melty Kiss product because it got mentioned on ChocoCast. After one turnaround of one episode, less than a month. So if you're listening to this, sponsors, chocolate brands, hell, any other brands, I'll shill condoms on here for whatever. We get results, proven anecdotal evidence through the... This episode was the Galbe moment of the month. But we'll give it back to Melty Kiss because clearly it works. But that will bring us to a close for another episode of Choco Cast. Thank you so much for listening. I will try and get back over Japan so I can give you more reports. But until then, we obviously have Jet Window Jeff on the ground doing all of that stuff, trying to avoid giving away his birthday. If you want to annoy Jeff about the date of his birth, how can they go about doing that, Jeff?
You're going to think I'm going to freaking put that out there when you've said it that way? They can go to hell. That's what they can do.
Well, they can find you on Twitter/X at...
Oh, Jeff Mazziata, because I'm not clever at all. It's just my name, JeffMazziotta.
Like, and Jeff, the secret Garrett, is his password to access that is his date of birth.
Yes.
So sure. If you work it out, you get access to his Twitter.
Exactly.
You seem concerned. I may have just hit the bubble. And you can find me on Twitter/X at OneUpCulture. Got some exciting things on the way. I can't say everything just yet, but it will be very, very soon. So keep an ear out for that. But until next time, we will be back next month here on the Wrestling Podcast Network. Choco Cast will keep firing away all this fun stuff for you. Obviously, we'll have Sakura Days we can talk about a bit more, maybe new Baka Gaijin. Who knows what else is going to be coming up on board? Because I feel like every month when we do this, we're looking at, okay, what are we talking about this month? It always seems to be a whole batch of stuff I wasn't expecting. You know, like, obviously, I was excited to talk about my trip on this episode, but then we had the May doing wrestling in Kyoto Junior High Schools, new debutantes and all of that. So plenty of exciting things, I'm sure, coming over the next month in the world of Gato Move, Choco Pro, and Baka Gaijin. But until then, see it, believe it, we are Choco Cast.